Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Midland, Michigan, and earned a bachelor's degree in general studies from the University of Michigan. For 24 years, he worked as a lay evangelist, ministering to college students. In 1998, he became a priest, and today is the pastor of the Church of the Holy Family in Novi. He is a great believer in and proponent of Alpha. His name? Father Bob LaCroix. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to Father Bob LaCroix, who's been a salesman for God as a priest for the last 17 years. Father, welcome. A real honor to have you.
My privilege to be here.
Can we start by you offering an opening prayer this evening?
I would be happy to. God, our Father in heaven, as we are in this now very special season of preparation and being with Jesus in the desert, preparing for all that you have for us, we pray in this year of mercy that you show us your mercy and you open your heart to us so that we might become your heart to those around us. Amen.
Can we start, Father, by you talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Okay. Well, I'm one of seven kids. Normal Catholic family, altar boy, got in trouble with the nuns most of the time. I would really like some of them to see me now. I would not have been voted most likely to be a priest. But they were good Catholics. Didn't have a whole lot of effect on me. I kind of wanted something else as I got older. Kind of gave up going to church.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
My biggest thing I learned from my dad is be there and do the right thing. And from my mom, I learned patience and kindness.
When you were young, you wanted to be a lawyer.
I did.
What happened?
Well, if a lawyer is somebody who advocates, I think I kind of am. But my life changed. I was not going to church. I grew up in the late 60s. I mean, I had friends that I almost went to Woodstock. I would have been there if I hadn't been to, you know, a big party like that the weekend before. Wasn't going to church. There was this time when I was in Fort Lauderdale, my freshman year in college, on the beach. Spring break. This is like party time. I can remember hearing in a radio next door that it was Easter Sunday. I didn't know it was Easter Sunday. And when I heard it was Easter Sunday, I said, I don't care. By next Easter Sunday, my life was changed, and now I know when it's Easter.
A week ago, we had Dr. Gianna Mola from Italy, whose mom was canonized the saint. The mom died 1 week after this little girl was born because of that pregnancy. I'm not sure this Dr. Gianna Mola ever sinned in her life. You are...
Was different. I was
the
different.
Opposite end of the... Anything is possible. Anything is possible. You go to U of M, which wasn't the bastion for her faith. But after you graduate, you choose to join an ecumenical mission brotherhood and to live very simply, to live like a modern-day monk. why, and tell us about that period in your life.
When I decided not to be a lawyer, and when God became something personal in my life. That was a big part of what happened to me, is God was not personal before. God became infinitely personal. And I could talk to God, and, you know, I could hear God responding. I knew God was there. So I realized that what I wanted to do with my life more than anything else was to help people find what had been the best thing I had ever found, and to help people know God and love God. And this, I thought, was the best option. It was with other men who wanted to do the same thing that I wanted to do. We had the strength of a common life, common prayer, a simple life, so we weren't distracted by all kinds of stuff. And I found it just an incredibly satisfying, challenging, but an incredibly satisfying way to live. And I felt it was a great privilege to have these opportunities both to serve the Lord and to be with really great men.
You did that for 24 years, from 1974 to 1998, and you ministered to college students at the University of Michigan and then Michigan State University.
I did.
What were the kids like in those 24 years?
Cultures change. The United States has had a lot of social change. Family life has changed. Since when I grew up in the 60s to now, or the 80s or 90s. But the hungers of our heart are the same. And people in different ways ask the same questions. And I think college campuses are tremendous opportunities for young people to come to know God. I know college campuses are perceived by many to be, you know, very, very difficult places. Well, they can certainly be that. I'm very familiar with the opportunities that college campus gives for sharing your life, for talking to friends about stuff that matters, for natural occasions to talk about spiritual things.
You say the hungers of our hearts are the same generation by generation. Our young people today, what are they truly yearning for, Father?
I think they are truly yearning to be loved and to know love. I think they're yearning to be part of something that's greater than themselves. They're, you know what? They want to make a difference. A lot of them know they've been blessed. They want to know that they count, that they're worth more than their GPA or their good looks. Life's so much more than that.
As I listen to parents today, I hear over and over, my 18-year-old son doesn't want to drive. He doesn't have a license. My 23-year-old son or daughter, they don't want to work. They don't want to move out of the house. They don't want to be with people. They just want that, you know, texting, etc. And you say they want love and they want to connect. That sounds different than what I hear from a lot of parents.
I think they need opportunities to be exposed to what's good and true. Yeah, I was over at a graduation party, and they were showing me through the house, and there was the 10-year-old member of this family who was down in the basement in his own little den, and he could play online with his friends. He'd play these games online with his friends who were a block away. And I'm saying, just go over to the house. I mean, go outside, play a game. I lived outside. I mean, every football, basketball, baseball, just go outside. Well, you work with what you got. We can take advantages of things like that. We can use social media. We can have occasions for them to realize that it really is good to get out of the house. We have to meet them where they're at, on their level, doing the things they want to do and showing them the good things that are there.
How do we reach them, Father?
One by one, we reach them with people with changed lives reaching out because they know that God in His mercy has been good to them. St. Francis talks about the joy of the gospel. We don't have any difficulties talking about that about which we're joyful. So in all these situations, I think the challenge is to insert joy into the lives of the people who are part of these families and networks, and God will just do what God can do.
We're talking to Father Bob LaCroix, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're Father Bob LaCroix, who after 24 years of ministering to college students, became a priest in 1998 at the age of 46. Father, why did you accept a vocation to the priesthood?
Remember that I had been living for 20 years or more already committed to a single life. That is kind of like the big roadblock for a lot of folks would they consider the priesthood. So it was challenging, but I know that God had called me, and I was very familiar with the particular blessings of that way of life. But being a Catholic and being committed to a single life and a simple life and to ministry, I always thought that it would eventually lead to ordination. It was an ecumenical brotherhood, but there were some of us who were Catholic who just assumed that it would naturally evolve that way. And then we said, yeah, we think it's about time now. We think that I felt, and others who are good friends felt, we felt called to the priesthood, and we think now is the time. It was a very natural transition, and one I'm very glad to make. I wouldn't rather do anything else than what I'm doing now, and you couldn't pay me enough to do anything else.
For the last 17 years as a priest, you've been a salesman for God. Tell us about God.
Pope Francis, who I think has this unique ability to talk to the modern world, says, Jesus is the face of God's mercy. God is merciful. God is love. And what I didn't know as a kid that I'm beginning to know more and more now is that the Holy Spirit is among us to make God present. He's the heart of God and the mind of God and the power of God at work among us, and God's not far away, but He's infinite love. He's worthy of being trusted. He'll satisfy the longing in our heart, the torment or the guilt that I think so many folks are oppressed by, the not being good enough. You'll never measure up. Jesus is just God's love and God's mercy, and God is passionate that we know that.
Since 2011, Father LaCroix, you've been the pastor of the Church of the Holy Family in Novi on Meadowbrook Road, just north of 10 Mile. Tell us about that church and your flock.
I feel very honored to have been asked to be pastor of Holy Family. I succeeded some very, very loved people. That's always a challenge. For 34 years, 35 years, the parish just had two pastors, and deservedly they were well-loved. And then I'm only the fourth pastor. Holy Family is changing. American life is becoming more multicultural. It's not as homogeneous as it once was. We have a very large and and developing in excited ways Spanish-speaking population. It's our second biggest mass. We have more baptisms in for the Spanish-speaking than we do for the English-speaking. And they bring all kinds of life to the parish. But it's really, truly a multicultural place. There are some wealthy homes and affluent people and very successful professionals. There's trailer parks and apartment houses. There's homeless. There's Indians, Chaldeans. I think we're a little bit of a microcosm of the whole church.
You have 2,300 households, and 30% of your flock are Hispanic, Spanish-speaking. What have the Spanish-speaking flock taught you, Father LaCroix?
They've taught me joy. They have shown me, I mean, I've always known this, but I've just seen it in a new way. The honor and the privilege that they experience in being part of the American opportunity. They've shown me a great openness to children, generosity to volunteer, a real multiplicity of gifts that just then generously are offered to the parish.
We're talking to Father Bob LaCroix, who's a great believer in and proponent of a concept that we'll ask him about when we come back. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Father Bob LaCroix, the pastor of Holy Family Church in Novi. If you want to learn more, www.holyfamilynovi.org. Holyfamilynovi.org. Father, you're a great believer in and proponent of Alpha. What is Alpha?
Oh, I'm an expert on it because we've been doing it for almost 4 months. So we haven't been doing it for very long. What is one of the most popular, urgent messages to Catholics around the world these days? That John Paul II was talking about, that Pope Benedict, Pope Francis is always talking about. It's a new evangelization. It's the joy of the gospel. Alpha is a way to do that. It's not the only way. It's the best way I know of, and it's been very, very fruitful, but it's a way to make Jesus known. Pope Francis begins the joy of the gospel with, "I invite all Christians everywhere to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ." That's what Alpha does.
Nicky Gumbel.
He's an Anglican curate, an Anglican pastor, who all his life has had a real desire to reach people who don't go to church with the message of Jesus. And Alpha is what they have been refining and working on for 30 years. He's a very engaging speaker. He's not flashy. He's not a barn burner. He's like your familiar uncle you just love to talk to. I just came back from London, learning more about Alpha from where it started. And somebody asked Nicky, they said, "If you ever found anything better than Alpha, would you do it?" And he goes, "I'll do it tomorrow. I just haven't found anything that works better on helping people encounter Jesus and know what the power of His Spirit means today for their lives.
Alpha is a series of sessions, normally one per week, with a group. Could be 5 people, 10 people, bigger. Let's talk about a few of those sessions. The first session is titled, Who is Jesus?
Well, what do you think would happen if you took a live, if you took their show on the road and you went to a mall and you asked people that question? In fact, that's how one of the Alpha sessions kind of does. Time Magazine regularly around Easter will do something, and not long ago they said, Who is Jesus? It's kind of important. Not what everybody says who Jesus is, but who Jesus says He is. And that first session is just a simple presentation from the Bible about who Jesus says He is. So one time somebody comes to Him and says, you know, looking for healing. And Jesus says to him, your sins are forgiven. And people get all upset. And they say, what are you saying? Nobody can forgive sins but God. So Jesus says, okay, so that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I tell you, get up and walk. And he got up and walked. What does that say about Jesus?
So you're trying to make him real.
Oh, it is my passion and my great joy.
The fourth session, why and how do I pray, please?
I talk to an awful lot of Catholics who spend an awful lot of time praying, and all time in prayer is good. But I say, when you talk to God, does He ever talk back? Not very many people say yes. There was a survey done once on why married couples don't pray more often. You know what the number one reason was? They don't know what to do. That's a simple thing to address. You know, expectations and simple things that we can do, not just to talk to God, but to encounter Him. And to have Him help us hear what I know He's always saying to us.
So how do I pray to Him?
I think you try and find a quiet space. Let all the noise and the commotion fade. My first prayer that changed my life was, Jesus, if you are real, show me. We talk to God about what's on our hearts. What's real? There's no formula. It's a relationship. And He'll meet us where we are.
With each one of these weekly sessions with this same group of people, you always share a meal as part of the session. Father, why?
Well, I mean, actually, having a meal is kind of at the heart of being Catholic. I mean, our big gathering is a participation in the last, what, snack? No, at the Last Supper. And what do families do? They eat together. I mean, I think in more traditional cultures, it was just, like, more important. Okay, I've been to Italy, where your guest last week was from. Like, meals are just more a part of Italian culture than American culture. So, gosh, we can slow down. We can get to know one another. We can have some, hey, the food's really good. We can have some, it's not like hot dogs and, you know, beans or something, but it's a nice meal and it breaks the ice and good things happen around meals.
Session 5, why and how should I read the Bible?
As God's, I think that there's a lot of different ways to read the Bible. I mean, I took a class at the University of Michigan on the Bible, and I had lots of world-famous scholars talking to me about the Bible with facts and ancient languages and all kinds of history, and I actually don't remember much of what I learned. Very, very smart people. They were, as far as I could tell, they were treating it like an academic text. That's one way. That's not a wrong way. But really, we want to look at the Bible as something that's God's personal love letter to us. I mean, God speaks to us. We talk about Jesus not only being the Word that's become flesh, but the living Word. Jesus lives in His Word. I believe the words of the Bible have power like no other book in the world. And if we read it with faith, and we read it to encounter God, and we read it with hearts open to the Holy Spirit, you're really going to love reading the Bible.
We're talking to Father Bob LaCroix, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Father Bob LaCroix about Alpha. If you want to learn more, www.alphausa.org. Alphausa.org. Father, two more chapters, if you will, or sessions. Sessions 7 and 8. Who is the Holy Spirit? And what does the Holy Spirit do?
When I grew up, we used to call the Holy Spirit the what?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Man, what's a young kid to think about ghosts being God? How do we feel about ghosts? A little spooky. I think that the Holy Spirit is probably the person of the Holy Trinity about which people are least personally familiar. And that's really a tragedy, because we live now in the age of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in this age. I mean, Jesus said, this really surprises me. Jesus said to his disciples, it's good that I go, as he was talking to him at the Last Supper. And I'm one of the apostles there. I'm just saying, I don't think so. Nothing's going to be good if you go, for heaven's sakes. You know, we need you here. And he goes, no, it's good that I go. Because then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is meant to be here at work among us as if Jesus was still here in the flesh. And, you know, that's possible. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit's the heart of God at work in the world today. I mean, the finger of God, the power of God. When I was a kid, I just thought Christianity was trying hard and being nice. And I didn't really find that very attractive. Although I wanted to be nice and did try hard. Didn't know what God had to do with it. We need power, man. Holy Spirit is God's power at work in the world today, and we need it desperately.
We've just begun Lent. Father LaCroix, what is Lent? And what's its purpose?
At the beginning of Lent, we read the part in the Bible where Jesus prepares for his public ministry. He's lived 30 years in anonymity. And before he kind of jumps all in, he spends 40 days in the desert. That's what we recall as we start these 40 days. And I think that is a tremendous image for us. Now, we can't go physically into a desert, but we live in a noisy world. We live in a place of intensity and busyness. Boy, it's hard to hear God in all that noise. Lent's an opportunity where we just turn down the volume and the confusion. We try and go back to the things that are most important, find out where our true center is so that we can really be ready for the biggest feast of the whole Christian year.
Last September, you and some of your flock went to Philadelphia when the Pope came to America. Jorge Bergoglio, i.e. Pope Francis.
Has he been on the show?
No.
You got to get him.
I thought that you would get him. He gave a long interview to the Jesuit magazine, and the first question they asked is, who's Jorge Bergoglio? And there was a long pause, and then finally he said, I'm a sinner. And everybody that's been around him says his favorite saying is, please pray for me. Tell us about Jorge Bergoglio.
Oh, he's simply a fascinating individual. I think that we're still... He's not what anybody expected. And he doesn't fit perfectly into anybody's expectations of who a pope should be or what a pope should do. And I just find him amazing. I mean, one of the things that I think is really hard for Westerners is this is the first time a non-Westerner has been head of the Catholic Church. And it's not primarily Westerners anymore. This is truly an international figure. And a Jesuit, God bless them all. You know, this is a mold breaker. And he is so interesting to listen to. I sometimes he's personally a little frustrating because it seems like he says stuff that is, I mean, can be interpreted in mutually exclusive ways. And the thing is, I think that he probably knows that and is choosing to do it for reasons I don't always understand. But he's just relentless. I don't see where he gets all of his energy myself. You look at his daily schedule. He's just relentless at talking about Jesus and mercy and forgiveness.
Speaking of getting frustrated or he's not what anyone expected, every Jewish person, agnostic, non-Catholic that I've talked to, loves the guy. They love the guy. They got no issues with the guy. But many Catholics have issues with the Pope. Why?
Because he's not their idea of a pope. You'd have to ask them, but I think that he, like when he came to America, he said stuff that every group liked and stuff that every group didn't like. So, like, nobody comes out like he's in my corner. That's hard to pull off. And I think that he's not doing it just politically. He's doing it out of his inspiration to talk about Jesus in a way that takes away preconceptions and takes away agendas and just has people deal with the reality of the living God, which is always uncomfortable and not like what we expect. We can't put God in a box. I don't think we can put him in a box either.
A lot of people are fearful today and concerned that the Judeo-Christian values that built America are under attack, and they feel powerless to do anything about it. What can the average listener do, Father?
I'm a priest. I'm not a politician. And I know what I believe my part of that puzzle is. I don't think that there is a coincidence between the erosion of Judeo-Christian values and people not going to church and people not having their children baptized. I mean, practice has eroded. Well, gosh, that's got consequences. Even though my experience, I think, of growing up in the church and Catholic schools was limited, it instilled basic values I later rejected and then reclaimed again. But it wasn't as good as it could be, but there was transmission. I think that the thing that we need to do is return to God. America needs to again become one nation under God. And as we encounter Christ and we become personal and read the Bible, these things just grow in us like fruit on a tree.
Speaking of which, can you lead us in a closing prayer this evening?
Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for every heart and soul that's listening and all who will listen. Lord, we need you. We all want to be your servants. Lord, we're looking for opportunities to love and be loved. Lord, we need you more than ever. As we open our hearts to you, come, use this time of Lent. Lord, use our country as a force for good and peace in the world. We need you, Lord. Help us, please.
Father LaCroix, thanks. What a salesman for God and for Alpha as well. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom. Believe in you.